Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Opening day of the tournament. Why not have Connor and Tom Waddle bring you a 4-hour ride, right?
Absolutely.
The two of us have watched so much college basketball. That's what Tyler's for. Tyler's our college basketball.
Well, that, to unlock your phone.
That's true.
Drop it into a sink or something like
Jeff
that.
Jeff Mellor's here to break down the Major League Baseball draft from the last 10 years
with you.
No, but we'll have a lot of fun. Connor's in for Sylvie. And why not get started? Because when I walked in, the first thing you said is you had some quarterback thoughts and a list.
That's the first thing I said that was arable. Yes. And
yeah,
I had some choice words for you. That's our greeting. That's how we greet each other. Yeah. A lot of four-letter words.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun lined up for today.
Your hat is dirty.
Jesse Rogers is going to join us. Jeff Joniak at 6 o'clock. Would you rather today? Brought to you by the Pride Stores. Best question using the hashtag WS Would You Rather wins free Connie's frozen pizza. That's the hashtag WS Would You Rather. Get yourself some pizza and some fine answers from the crew.
Your hat is so dirty.
No, it's filthy, is what it is. So I spotted this hat. Chris Getz was wearing this same hat during some media availability that he had.
Was he wearing that when he said, "I don't like our baseball team"?
He wasn't. He was hatless when he was wearing that, and pretty honest about things too, I think, when he was talking about hating his baseball team. No, this is the giveaway hat from, you know, you go to a charity golf tournament.
Oh, yeah.
You roll up and you get the
nice
bag.
Hat. It's a Travis Matthews
it's
hat.
It's a Travis
right?
Matthews hat. And this is essentially everything I wear to the ballpark. I just wear the polos that I was given for free at the White Sox charity golf outing.
I love it.
If you've ever thought about going, you should go. It's a blast.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun and you get some free stuff.
Some good golf, some great gifts, some awesome people to meet and hang out with. DJ goes out there and just, you know, shoots it with everybody and it's a blast. But that's basically how I outfit myself. This one, though, it was the white giveaway hat.
Okay.
And it's pouring rain at the golf course that day. So everybody walks out and they got a soaked hat. I got, you know, a bunch of salt and grime and dirt and stuff
on
there.
Well, your forehead sweats quite a bit.
I feel like...
Do you have a sweaty head?
I don't feel like I do, but apparently...
You obviously do. Look at the hat.
The 2022 giveaway hat, I'm not allowed to wear around the house anymore because it makes my daughter sneeze because it's so smelly. It's such a smelly hat. That I'm apparently giving allergies to my daughter.
Do you, like, you have a sweaty head?
Apparently I do. And I, like, if
like,
I go...
Are you a sweater, like, in general? No. Like, do you, like, pit out all the time?
It's been a long time since I've worked out, but when I was working out for a while, it takes me an hour and a half to work up a lather. I don't sweat.
Except in your forehead.
I could run you... When I was running, I would break a sweat at the 3.5 mile mark, like, but it...
So why is your hat so dirty?
Couldn't tell you, man. Couldn't tell you.
You know you can solve that. You just take the hat and put it in the dishwasher.
I can take a white hat, throw it in the dishwasher?
I'm not lying either. I know you're looking at me. You're like, okay, Waddle, you're an idiot.
Spaghetti stains on the dish, on the hat.
Wait a second. Time out. Don't you also rinse your dishes clean before you put them in the dishwasher?
Oh, see, this is a good argument. Are you a clean the dishes all the way through?
Completely.
So they have
where
to be
do you
spick
think that
and
food
span.
Is, where does that food go?
Where? Wait.
It's not a food cleaner, it's a dishwasher.
Tom, if you have cleaned the dish, why are you putting it in the dishwasher?
Because there's still particles on it. It's just not, I don't have spaghetti.
How did we make it as a civilization, as humans? How did we all get through before dishwashers?
I don't know, but now that we have dishwashers, let's act like we're in the modern times.
So you spick and span.
I do. I'm OCD when it comes to that stuff.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
like all my coffee cups are rinsed out with hot water before you put in
the coffee
all of
cups.
The spoons and knives. There's not a speck of food on anything as it goes into the dishwasher.
I have a coffee thermos that I haven't washed since I got it. All that goes
that's
in there is
coffee.
That's
why your forehead sweats.
No, it's not why my forehead sweats. I think that's the anxiety. Generally
I'm telling you, though, but honest, I'm being honest, okay? If you take that hat and you put it in the dishwasher, it will clean it and then sit it like on the ledge and let the sun dry it out.
I'm not going to lose the form of the hat because I've got the bill bent just the way I want it.
We called that you Mustang the hat. Isn't that what you called it as a kid? That's what we did. Mustang.
Oh, this is
you Mustang the hat.
That's fantastic.
That's what we called it
you
in Cincinnati.
Mustang the hat.
Yes.
Where does that come from?
I don't know.
That's
it's just
a
how
phrase.
It was passed down from Cincinnati baseball
is that,
fans.
Is that any bend of the
yes.
bill or is that a certain shape?
You got to Mustang your hat. That's what we called it.
I love that.
You know how you used to take with your baseball glove to break your glove in? You'd take a ball and then you'd wrap like rubber bands around it?
Do I know how you used to take a ball and throw it in the mitt and wrap it in rubber bands, maybe underneath a mattress, maybe use a little bit? Of course I know how you break in a glove.
Right. Well, you do the same thing with your hat. You do. Really? Yeah, you take the hat, you Mustang it a little bit, you form it. Then you put, like, if you need to, you put a rubber band around it and then strap it around some. You even put it on your head and then strap a rubber band underneath your chin and see how long you can handle that.
That's a lot of rubber bands in the Waddle household.
Before the rubber band cuts into your skin.
I feel like the Waddles just kind of used rubber bands for everything. Was that like the
fix? We didn't have staplers.
Don't worry. Like, duct tape was out, so we just used the rubber band.
Yeah, you grow up with, you grow up with little, you find ways to get things done.
I know.
But just take my advice.
Yeah.
Or give me your hat. I'll take it home to one of my, I'll put it in my dishwasher and I'll bring it back to you and I guarantee it'll be clean.
Well, is your dishwasher better than my? You can say you got a better dishwasher than I got?
Well, yeah, because you put dirty dishes in your dishwasher, so there is a good chance that your hat's going to get covered by something.
I suppose I walked right into that one.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
Who doesn't clean? At the very least, don't you rinse your dishes off or you just throw them in?
No, I take the, no, the big chunks go in the trash.
Okay.
The
okay.
big chunks go in the right. trash because right. I've had to replace a garbage disposal several times and it's taken chunks of my fingers while I've replaced. Don't put food down the garbage disposal. They're barely, they're essentially useless. They just get
choked up. That's not true. That's not true.
They don't really work.
They're not, that's not true.
Well, then go home and put
get yourself an incinerator. Do you have an incinerator?
Are there other brands of garbage disposals? Of course, it's an incinerator.
I just don't know.
It's right there.
Who are you?
On the thing.
Who are you?
It says incinerator. I don't think there's another company that makes garbage disposals.
There is.
No, it's like walking around Chicago and saying, is that manhole cover from Nina Foundry? Of course it is. They all say Nina Foundry.
I did not know that.
They all say Nina Foundry, about 20 minutes south of Appleton, Wisconsin, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. I have quarterback questions for you.
Okay. All right.
Because as I sat here over the last week and watched what happened with the Bears and Justin Fields, we had Caleb Williams workout yesterday at USC.
How much of that did you watch?
I don't know. As much as I found on highlights.
I woke up this
morning and scrolled through Twitter. I saw that 70-yard bomb he threw. I saw the interview online after it happened that he did with Colin Cowherd, and he was kind of running through the throws he missed. I saw him dap up Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
Who was in a
Bears pullover.
Decked out.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that they...
I love it.
It's like he went to a Bears charity golf outing and just wore everything that they handed out.
I like
great. Can I, before we get to the quarterback questions, can I just tell you how much I love the fact that the Bears traded for Keenan Allen for Caleb Williams?
Okay.
And... that Keenan Allen, whether it was Bears driven or whether it was him or some combination of the two, that he was at the pro day.
Yeah.
I love that.
I do too. And I
love that.
We haven't spent a ton of time. I think Tyler and I have talked about this in the past and Meller as well. Like, I agree with you with the Keenan Allen trade. Now, look, it's fourth round pick for a guy who's going to be 32 years of age.
Fourth round pick in this year's draft.
Which
is not
absolutely
a good deep draft.
No, you're right. And I think that they have dealt with their draft currency with that in mind because of the nature of the draft.
I agree.
I mean, Tyler was the one that was telling me that, like, after the first 125 players, because of what NIL has done and, you know, the COVID year and all that other stuff, like, the back end of the draft, there's really, the consensus is that there's not as much talent as there normally is. Anyway, my thought was when they made that trade for Keenan Allen, I liked it. And I'm also expecting a contract extension is going to be announced at some point.
Yeah, because you want to take whatever that, I forget what that cap hit is.
It's going to be like $23 million because he got a $5 million signing bonus, I think, that was paid last weekend.
That's right.
And then $18 million. And I think, you could want to bring the number down. Not just that, but I think you want to make sure you have him in the fold for a couple of years. But I think for the reason you mentioned, Connor, I think it's great. You've built this nice improving infrastructure for a young quarterback. What a great guy to have in the huddle, someone who's been to six Pro Bowls and is silky smooth. I'm with you. I thought it was a good trade.
Here's the other thing about Keenan Allen being there at the pro day and the acquisition of the player, too. I get so tired, and in this town we've had it a couple of times, right? Whether it's Benny the Bull showing up outside, when Tracy McGrady flies in, and what is that, 2000? There are Mickey Mouse episodes for our teams here in town.
Sometimes. Yes, this was not Mickey Mouse.
Getting a 32-year-old borderline Hall of Famer for a fourth rounder, and then having him show up to the pro day for a guy he's got a relationship with already months before you envisioned trading for him.
It made you feel warm and fuzzy, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah.
I don't think the Chargers were thinking about trading Keenan Allen at this time last year. I think they wanted to probably move some other pieces around and keep Allen for their guy Justin Herbert. This is a pro move put on by pros. And I think thinking about that, keeping that in mind as I kind of ask some of the quarterback questions I've got for you, means something about what this Bears organization is able to accomplish from a front office standpoint.
Yeah.
Right? That's well put together. That's really well thought out. That's not just, oh, hey, and Keenan, you mind flying out there? I think that probably gets discussed right when he's in your building the first time around. And you're talking about what an extension might look like.
Yeah.
You talk about what his obligations might look like. You make sure he's got the right size of sweatpants to get out there to the pro day, all that stuff. That's pro.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not a huge ask, I don't think, either, because remember, he played in Los Angeles the last several years with the Chargers, last couple of years when the Chargers moved. They're familiar with one another. I liked it. Now, you juxtapose that.
Don't do it weird like I do.
I know.
Like
well, no, I know what you were thinking, though. With, you know, what Jalen Johnson had to say, which we had access to yesterday but didn't have the time to play it. And there will be an interesting dynamic in that locker room. But, again, I like how you kind of phrased it and your perspective on it. And I go back to the concept of infrastructure, and I think that this will be a nice setup for a young quarterback drafted first overall, unlike other situations over the course of the last several decades, because most guys coming into a new franchise as the first overall pick, those guys are going into less than stellar environments. This is going to be a much more secure and much more developed environment than somebody going to a team with three wins.
I think about, you know, I go back to thinking about David Carr, right? He was taking one overall, right?
And then I think he got his ass kicked and sacked like 90 times.
I think he truly was buried at the 50-yard line there in his rookie season and then exhumed and brought back to play the rest of his career. I there are other quarterbacks that have been shell-shocked like that and changed what they think the timing is in the NFL.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going back to 2002, right, more than 20 years ago. But I think it matters. You know, I think it still matters. I think those hits still ring a little bit.
Oh, they affect you. Everything about it affects you. And look, this is where I have been very clear, and I'm not waffled, and I haven't wavered on this. I have a tremendous amount of empathy for what Justin Fields was faced with. You know, when he was drafted here, he had a front office and a coach that they were trying to cling to their jobs. They had to win. You had the Andy Dalton situation. They put him in a game against Cleveland. The game plan doesn't protect him. They put him in a horrible spot. His second year in the league, they changed coaches. They changed the front office. And now he's got to learn it, which is essentially the third offense in 3 years, going back to his Ohio State days. You go Ohio State, you go Matt Nagy. Now I've got Luke Getsy's game plan. And Ryan Poles completely tears down the roster, which doesn't help him either, which was the right thing for the franchise. Yeah. But a harmful thing for the quarterback. They finally, in year three of Justin's tenure here, provide him with a little something. You upgrade the offensive line. You bring in DJ Moore. But at that point, kind of the deal has been sealed. And the reason I go through that exercise is to highlight that the infrastructure was awful for him. It's going to be better. I mean, Justin was a victim of circumstance in a lot of ways. And now it's going to be better. So the expectations are that the results should be better as well. But this is what you're supposed to do as a franchise. Learn from your mistakes and try to create an environment that is conducive to success, at least early, or I mean, hopefully early, for a young quarterback.
So the question I have is essentially this. What did we learn about the Bears based on the trade they made for Justin Fields, right? And I'm talking about the Bears, the Ryan Poles of it all, right? How that front office likes to orchestrate what they have in terms of value and assets against the rest of the league. Is this a good organization that's going to build itself going forward, or have they been kind of lucky in some circumstances. You know, Carolina bottoming it out, and they're getting the number one
pick. But you know,
all these kind of things moving around.
Good fortune is an essential commodity in any team's championship run.
Luck is where opportunity meets preparation, right? I mean, it's the same idea. I don't discount that at all. But I think the question is, what did we learn about the state of quarterback play, right? Because I think you can go around, and we all heard it, right? Oh, the Bears, they could get a second-round pick for Justin Fields. I mean, 2 months ago, this was a conversation. It might have led shows, right? You're going to get a second-round pick. Shoot, we could even see them get a first. You're definitely get a third-round pick for Justin Fields. Look at what he did. He's a starting quarterback, and everybody else on this marketplace, the Sam Darnolds, and it's just, with the exception of, I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on the guy who can't win a playoff game from Minnesota, and now Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins.
Thank you. Look at what Kirk Cousins. What did we learn about quarterback? Because I think the Bears, because of what they got in this trade, a fourth round, or the sixth rounder, it could be a fourth. I think we learned more about the state of quarterback play than we did the Bears front office operation and just kind of what Justin Fields was at this point.
In what way?
Teams are not paying the mid-level player or giving assets for the mid-level player. If you want to give up a six for Desmond Ridder as your backup, if you want to grab Sam Darnold back around and maybe overpay that for a little bit because you know he's a bridge quarterback and he's not going to interfere with the next guy you pick, that's fine. But the middle class of quarterback in terms of, you know, talent level, nobody's interested in that.
Yeah, plus, you're not going to overpay for it.
And they got pinned. Everybody knows that they're taking Caleb Williams. The league told you for weeks that we know you're taking Caleb Williams, and they gave you nothing on Justin Fields.
Yeah, I don't think that, like, I look at this situation. There are some that feel that Ryan Poles got scammed in some sort of way or didn't get the value that he should have gotten. I don't think he overplayed his hand or misread the market. I just don't. I don't think there was a third-round pick in the 2024 draft that was out there. I don't know this to be true. And he decided not to take it because he wanted to do right by Justin and his camp that wanted to find their way to Pittsburgh if they could. His responsibility is to the organization. And had there been a significantly better offer, I feel strongly that Ryan Poles would have taken it. I think what we found out, and credit to Jeff Meller. I mean, he was the first one and said, we were doing a show a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, we should really talk about what the current feel for the market for Justin is and what maybe truly, if we do a little bit of thinking and a little bit of digging, what it could be. And we had some detailed conversations that by the end of the conversation, we pretty much had convinced ourselves that whatever, you know, Mel Kiper Jr. had floated out there or whatever that Shefty, and I'm not saying that but whatever they were hearing didn't really intersect with what we felt ultimately would happen. And I mean, I let Meller describe how he felt about it, but talked through it, we came to the conclusion that
it was, so I think it was a Friday night, and I don't know if it was another report where there was going to be interest for Justin Fields and second, third round pick might be a bidding war. And I just started going through the teams.
Right.
And all the at least five, maybe six quarterbacks that are in this draft. And then you added in Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield and even throwing someone like Ryan Tannehill.
And then Russell Wilson because he wasn't going to cost somebody anything.
Being free agents and available. And all of a sudden you had a list of 10, 11, 12 quarterback names. And we went through the exercise, and I just kept saying, I lost my mind one night. I was texting Waddle and Tyler, and I was like, okay, how are the Bears going to get a second or third round pick when, if you're any team in the NFL, you look at all these available quarterbacks who you don't need to give up a draft pick for?
Right.
You can either draft them with that second round pick.
If they're, one of the guys coming into this year's draft.
Or if you're one of those teams who are picking high, you take your first round pick and you invest in that young quarterback. Or you go after someone like Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield, because, again, he hadn't re-upped with the Buccaneers just yet. Why would you give up a second or third round draft pick asset for Justin Fields when you can just pivot, not give up a draft pick, and go forward with one of these other guys? And so I said, am I crazy, or are all these rumors about the Bears getting a second or third round pick for Fields, do they not jive with you guys either?
Yeah, and I think we all came to the same conclusion. And then if you factor into the equation, the contract decision has to be made by May, whether or not you're going to pick up the fifth-year option. And the conversation went from, remember, guys, 3 weeks ago, whoever trades for him is definitely picking up the fifth-year option, because why would you give up any draft currency and then not have control over him to, when they finally trade him, there's no, there was the week leading up to the trade finally happening to, there's no chance that anyone's going to pick up the fifth-year option. And then you factor in also that you are probably going to have to tweak your offense a little bit to accentuate his skill set. We came to the conclusion that it wasn't a slam dunk, that this was going to be an easy move.
I mean, in my mind, too, the Bears having the number one overall pick depresses the value,
of course,
of whatever any team is. Like, let's say the the Falcons were a hot commodity, or even the Steelers. Okay, let's say they value Justin at a third-round pick. Well, I know that you have the number one pick. So it'll be a four from my end, or it'd be a five, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to come down at least one round.
Well, and also think too, Connor, that using the deductive skills that one may have in this industry, they didn't draft Justin, right? This is a quarterback heavy draft. You have the first overall selection.
Yeah.
Last year, you traded the pick and you bolstered your roster. And oh, by the way, one of the guys you passed on, C.J. Stroud, and I'm not blaming them, I think they made the right decision, had a historically good rookie season. What in the world would be said and talked about if you went through the same process and traded the pick again, and then Caleb Williams became another fantastic young quarterback? I mean, if you really looked at this with a clear head and common sense, and you weren't just relying on your heart telling you love Justin Fields,
you could have come
to this conclusion a long time ago that they were going to use the first pick on a quarterback.
Well, and the other thing that had been out there that I wanted to kind of check your temperature on, Robert Mays of The Athletic, who I love.
He's great.
He's fantastic. Put this out there, and it got me thinking a little bit. You know, the other option that got talked about a lot was having, you know, two quarterbacks, you know, drafting Caleb Williams and then Justin Fields on the roster at the same time. But his twist on this was, during training camp, at that point, you're going to see a quarterback go down, right? For me, this feels a lot like, you know, waiting on Dylan Cease till the major league trade deadline. Somebody's going to get hurt, and then you move them to whatever team has missed their ace for the next 4 months. Maybe at that point, your value skyrockets again, and you get a bit more. To me, this wasn't about the Bears getting top value for the quarterback they had. It's about securing the quarterback they want.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. And I do believe that Ryan Poles, who has done everything in a professional manner since taking over as the general manager here in town, did want to do right by Justin Fields. I have no idea what other offers or what other teams were offering and what the conversation sounded like. Did somebody potentially offer something that was marginally better than what the Steelers offered? Maybe so. But you kind of feel strongly that this is where Justin wanted to be. If, in fact, he wasn't going to be a Bear, maybe the Steelers was the most advantageous spot for him, his next destination, according to him and his representation. So I do believe that Ryan Poles wanted to do right by Justin, but I am also one that doesn't believe. I believe strongly that he wouldn't have compromised what the organization could have gotten in return if, in fact, there was someone out there that wanted to dance a little bit earlier with a different offer. I don't think that was the case. And I think in some ways, too, Connor, I think that the market, as we've just, you know, kind of laid out, the market set itself in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think so.
But I would say this going forward, and that's kind of like, you know, that's what's behind the door. What's ahead now is I have optimism. I'm not going to sit here and guarantee you that Caleb Williams is going to be a star, but the infrastructure is good. And remember, this team hasn't won a playoff game since January of 2011. This organization hasn't had consecutive winning seasons since 05 and 06. I'm tired of the mediocrity. I'm tired of settling for what they have done. So I'm fine with them pivoting and going into another direction. I understand there's no guarantee that it's going to work.
Never is.
But I am more than okay to pivot away from what has been, I'm calling it mediocrity. It's been less than mediocre. And some by design, because 2 years ago they tore that roster down. But last year they won 7 games. So I'm one that is okay with this pivot. and we'll see what transpires going forward.
Let's talk about Caleb Williams when we come back. One of the things that makes this a great destination for the number one pick and the guy that is likely going to be the next quarterback of the Bears is not just the offensive weapons that the Bears have assembled, but also the fact they had a damn good defense. Jalen Johnson spoke a little bit. We got some audio from him. We'll bring you that when we come back. Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is Waddle and Sylvie. Listen now in HD on our app and on ESPN 1000.
Backwards, Connor. Look forward.
Just like in general?
Yes, in life, in all areas.
In life?
Yeah.
Well, how do you know you're having a good time if you can't compare it to bad times in the past?
Are you having fun in the moment?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, just like, why would you spend any time wasting comparing what, hey, I'm at a bar, I'm having a good time with my friends, good food, good eats, good everything, watching ball games and stuff. If it's a good time, it's a good time. I don't have to compare it to something else.
No, I think you can only be having a good time if it's definitively the best time of your life. And then everything else is just less than. It's just not quite
You're just
there.
Asking for angst.
I don't think
That's
you're living...
The, you know what? That is the next name of your fantasy football team is asking for angst.
I don't think you're appreciating the social media nature of our world now. It's not fun unless I can compare it to everybody else and get likes and clicks and pokes and whatnot.
On that... pokes.
Remember pokes on Facebook? You used to be able to poke
That's
people on Facebook.
That's a throwback. Really. I haven't thought about a good
Facebook poke. What was it?
2003, baby.
What was a Facebook poke?
Someone would just poke you.
And so, what is a poke?
Let me take you back to 2003.
Meller's winding up an inappropriate comment.
Facebook opened.
There's an entire South Park episode devoted to poking your grandmother.
Yeah, of course. And what would happen is
your grandmother.
You would see people on Facebook that you had seen walking around campus or the dorm hall or the cafeteria or whatever that you didn't know, but you were interested in knowing. You'd send a poke. It could poke back. It didn't have to go any farther than that. Sometimes it ended up in the DMs and whatnot. Didn't call them DMs back then.
What were they called back then?
I think it was just messages. I think they
actually chat.
There might have been. You might have just had to post on somebody's wall before. I don't think there was a direct chat thing on the first Facebook.
Yeah, they were a little late to that, I think.
They were really late to that.
So could everybody else see it?
Yeah, I think you could.
Connor, you look good in them jeans.
I think that's
and then everybody sees it.
Yep, on you just right there on your wall.
That's not right.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So is the poke gone?
The poke was just hey, that's what it said. It's like a head nod.
You up?
No, but you sent that on AIM at the time. Text messages weren't really so much a thing, but you could send it on AIM.
Is that still a thing, Tyler?
AIM?
You up? No,
AIM?
You up?
Oh, you up?
Yeah, you up.
Kind of.
It's a little bit, yeah. But everybody's in constant contact with one another anymore.
All right. What was I thinking?
Doesn't matter.
You just pick out an emoji and you send that their way.
You up has kind of died now that you can unsend messages.
What is it now?
I don't know if there is a new
thing. Is there a new
thing.
What? Are you up?
I don't know if there is a new
it
you
It used
up.
To be it going all the way back to my era. The phrase was, what's up? Right? Just as simple as that.
Just what's up?
What's up was like, kind of the... Yeah, I mean, I know you're giggling.
Yeah, no,
you
weren't
texting people, what's up, because they didn't have texting.
We didn't have
texting. No, I'm just saying, like, the cool thing to say is, hey, what's up? Hey, what's up?
And did you write that on a poster in the dorm hall with, like, a tear-off Tom Waddle phone number?
No.
Like, is that how that was done?
No.
I can't, honest to God, I can't imagine an era where you would make plans, because I'm elder millennial. But I still can't imagine an era where you would make plans with someone days prior and then just hope everyone showed up to the thing.
Because you had no way to connect with each other?
It was throwing darts, man.
Simpler times.
Unbelievable.
Simpler times.
How I long to have lived in those times
If you make it, you make it. If you don't, you don't.
Or how about a meetup time, Connor? 7 o'clock at the quad.
At the quad.
And you just hang out for half an hour
waiting for the people
to casually show up.
Unbelievable.
Simpler times.
Much less anxiety I would have had in my life if I didn't have to worry about canceling plans on people. You just don't have to
show up.
I got to make an excuse to get out of this one.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to get out of that one. I mean,
it was so funny. Do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I have seen many Curbs. I've not seen all of Curb.
This last one about the text chain. I don't know if anybody saw it. It's so funny.
You leave in a text chain
as well. I've been in several text chains, and you can't leave them.
You can mute them.
You can't leave them.
Then they find out that you've left them.
Yeah, it says Tom Wallace left the text.
That's kind of like the essence of it.
You want to get out, but you can't.
Right. Yeah.
Like if you get looped into a Padres text thread that you have no interest in.
Right.
It would be rude to leave.
Does that happen to you?
I woke up at 4 in the morning the other day.
Miller's got a breakdown of who the Dodgers are going to bat 1 through 7.
CJ is just, she's not sleeping. So we do this, we're up early and the whole thing. And I've got like 19 texts from Meller and Hoodie and Carm. And they're all up at 2 in the morning watching the Padres and Dodgers play. And I'm like, this is it. This is our new secret text thread for baseball this season, which I'm absolutely in for. Don't get me wrong. But I am
Sounds like you're complaining about it.
For the Padres and Dodgers playing at 3 in the morning while my daughter screams and kicks and cries. This is not the time for regular season baseball. We have to talk about that in a little bit as well.
We absolutely will.
I want to hear from Jalen Johnson a little bit. I want to hear from Caleb Williams, high school coach as well. We had mentioned in the last segment that one of the things that makes this such a desirable place for a rookie quarterback, specifically Caleb Williams, are all the pieces, the Keenan Allen at the college workout at USC and everything like that.
Pro day.
But the defense is big, too.
Yeah.
I mean, for my money, the defense is just as big a reason. Maybe not just as big, but a really big reason. So one of the guys on that defense spoke about how Caleb Williams will be received inside the Bears locker room, although this says, well, no, I can't say that word. It's spelled wrong, but you can't say it that way. This is on Up and Adams. Here's Jalen Johnson.
You just humble yourself coming in the building. I feel like it's one of those things where it's like you can't, like you said, you can't bring that Hollywood stuff into the building, especially now with guys who play this game. I feel like at a high level for consecutive years in the league, it's just something that guys like myself, guys like Tremaine, TJ, I mean, just the vets now, Keenan Allen, I mean, you just adding certain guys in the locker room. I feel like we're gonna see through, and it's like, nah, that what you did in college, the Hollywood, it's like, nah, that you gotta prove yourself, that stuff like that doesn't matter. But I feel like you gotta get to know him too. I think it's a fine line between trying to prove a point to him, but also getting to know him, because I mean, at the end of the day, we want him to be the absolute best he can be. Cause, I mean, that's what we're bringing him in for, to win games. So I think truly just learning who he is as a person, learning him deeper than just all the Hollywood stuff you see, but actually trying to learn and get to know him, and then from there knowing what pushes him. If it is trash talk, and trash talk makes him crumble, then I mean, I feel like we got to push that button, because people in the game, they're going to push that button. So just depending on whatever it is that he needs to be pushed at, I feel like that's our job and that's our duty as his teammates to make him better, to strengthen his weaknesses.
There's a certain dynamic inside a locker room that you have to find a way to fit in. There's no doubt about it. And Jalen Johnson basically said to you, we're not going to be we're not going to take any of the Hollywood stuff.
I love that man.
Jalen Johnson.
Yeah.
He tells you what he thinks.
He plays the game honestly.
He talks to you about things honestly. He's just an honest guy.
I really appreciate. And listen, it's worth noting that Jalen's not saying, I expect all of this Hollywood stuff in the locker room and will then root it out. He's just saying, if it exists in there, it's going to go away, and here are the ways why. Caleb Williams knows how to be in a locker room.
Yes.
Caleb Williams knows how to play football. Caleb Williams knows how to operate as a quarterback.
Yes.
What Caleb Williams also knows how to do, apparently, is operate in a world where you get to be a millionaire and a superstar for legit reasons well before you leave the campus of USC.
Which is a really good point, because he's already learned how to deal with success and money and fame and attention.
Yeah, hand it to people who are professionals at handling money and fame and attention.
Right, exactly.
It's a great idea.
But when you get here, you still have to pass the test, so to speak.
Yes.
And I understand that. And, I didn't hear the question that Kay had asked Jalen, so I'm not so... It sounds like a pretty definitive and kind of, hey, he's going to have to prove himself. And I get all of that. I'm not so sure it was a negative statement or, it was a warning shot that was sent out by Jalen Johnson. It's just the dynamic of the locker room is what it is.
You're well aware.
I would be shocked if Caleb Williams came to town and carried himself in a less than, respectful way.
It won't happen. I can almost promise you it won't happen. Like, you know that you can't be the number one pick and walk in like the number one pick.
Right.
Whether it's on with Colin Cowherd yesterday or talking to reporters at the pro day or at the combine, he has pretty much only addressed his status as presumptive number one pick, like saying, if I'm lucky enough that
he's
the Bengals would honor me with the pick, right?
Yeah.
If I'm thought worthy enough to be the number one pick, it's that kind of conversation.
Yeah.
I don't think he needs to necessarily supplicate himself in front of a bunch of reporters, but at the same time, it doesn't hurt given the status that he already has.
Yeah.
The guy's a superstar. And I'm with you, man. You talked a little bit before the last break about wanting to, you know, move in a different direction, get to a different era, all this other kind of stuff. It made me think of when Luka Doncic was in the NBA draft. You know, come over from playing pro ball in Europe, right? I think he got drafted fifth to the Mavericks, fourth or fifth, something like that. And all I could think about was that draft was, you know, I know there's some good players in here. I get it. But if you're an NBA team and you'd like to bring, you want a professional basketball player, maybe draft the professional basketball player who's been playing pro ball for years against other pro basketball players.
Ready, set,
college
go.
Football
he's ready
is
to
a
go.
Lot like that now with the NIL deals, with the way you've got to handle that money, that notoriety. It's different than it was. And that's not to say that Reggie Bush didn't have a spotlight on him, that Matt Leinart didn't have him picking, you know, Trojans and whatnot. But, like, it's different now. You could think of worse guys, you know, like worse people to hand this fame to that have handled it differently than Caleb Williams has, and then anointing him as your number one pick and bringing him into the quarterback of your league. Like, this is a different era of Bears football that's going to start day one of the draft.
I do like the vast majority of what I've seen from him on the field. Off the field, as I've said in the past, I would have a more emotional response to something that didn't sit with me versus the excitement I would feel if I appreciated all of the things he said. And by that, I mean, I've heard him say all the right things.
Sure.
I've been very impressed with what he's had to say. But to me, that doesn't mean it's going to equate to success. What I'm saying is had I heard him say stuff that left me say, wow, wait, I'm not so sure the maturity level is where it needs.
Yeah.
I would have had a more visceral response to something negative than I would to something positive, because my assumption is he is going to carry himself this way.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think I was thinking about that about the pro day, really. He could have thrown 60 incompletions.
Yes.
Well, maybe not 60 incompletions, but the results of that pro day were nothing. What matters is how he dapped up Keenan Allen, that he talked to
reporters,
what
he interacted with the Bears contingent
that
was there.
All of those things. Yeah. This was a job interview, and apparently it had gone on for two nights before that with the dinner and everything like that.
Well, I think they're sold on him as a player. I think that what they had to, and you heard Ryan Poles say this at the end of the season when they talked about, you know, whatever they were going to do at whatever position, you got to learn the person. You got to get to know the person. And I think that was the process they went through over the last several days. So, there's no guarantee. But as I said a little bit earlier, look, I'm excited. I'm excited about the upcoming season, right? You've built a nice infrastructure now. You still have the ninth pick of the draft. You've still got some cap space. You still got some stuff. And the expectation is you're going to draft the most talented quarterback in this year's quarterback-rich draft. He's going to be on your team, and you're going to hit the ground running, and the 2024 season's going to be exciting. No guarantees, but look, as I said, we haven't won a playoff game in this town since 2011. I'm fine. We're pivoting and heading in a different direction. I'm tired of the mediocrity. And by mediocrity, I'm being kind, because it's been less than mediocre.
How do you start thinking about the ninth pick in this draft then, the second pick that the Bears own in that first round? Because I think the conversation around what this draft could be for the Bears shifted very sharply once they traded Justin Fields, right? Because there were a lot of people talking, oh, trade down from one and take, you know, go from one to two and take Drake
Gotta
May.
Get to Hall.
You're getting a Hall for Justin Fields or all this, whatever it all was now. And now it seems more likely than not, and if not that, incredibly likely that the Bears take Caleb Williams number one. Do you then, like, in your mind, are you kind of like resetting the draft? Like, it starts over at nine for you? Do you work during one, two, three, four, five, and six?
I'm not moving up to pick anybody. At nine, I think you can find somebody that can be a difference-making player as a rookie. And if those guys, whether it's Joe Alt, the tackle, or it's one of the receivers, Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze, if one of those guys is available, I can make a case for for them staying there and picking the offensive tackle or the wide receiver. If those guys aren't there, I could also then make a case for trading back. So they've got some flexibility, but they definitely have the chance to not only take a quarterback first overall who can make an enormous difference, but also somebody that can have a huge impact early as well at a different position.
I'll tell you what, I am okay, and I don't know what the Falcons are necessarily thinking. They're the eighth pick, right? I think everybody kind of.
I'd like to see them have that pick taken away from them by the league for the tampering thing that has been going on.
Oh, tell me about the tampering thing.
Well, there was a little bit of tampering conversation going on. Kirk Cousins, Darnell Mooney, and Ryan Pace, who's one of the front office guys there.
Scandal?
Yeah, a little bit.
Scandal?
Has there been anything new about that, Tyler?
Nothing new. No. But it all kind of stems from Kirk Cousins' press conference when he did say that he had also talked with the trainer for the Falcons. Yeah.
Oh, prior to the legal tampering period.
Correct.
In the illegal tampering period.
So the hope is they get pinched, and they get pinched hard, and maybe the league takes away the eighth overall pick. That means we move up from 9 to 8.
That'd be fantastic.
Well, you can hope, you can dream.
You said that you wouldn't move up, and I presume, and you mentioned the guys, right? You're Joe Alt, and you're Marvin Harrison, you're Roma Dunze, and Malik Neighbors.
I don't think Marvin Harrison will be there, but Neighbors are at Dunze.
No, certainly not. I would be okay moving up one spot. If one of those three top flight wide receivers, or for some unknown reason, Joe Alt falls a little or slips because of a run on quarterbacks and J.J. McCarthy, you know, moving up into that, you know, large group of quarterbacks that could all go consecutively, I'd be okay moving up one spot and giving up whatever else you need to give up in this draft because of the lack of talent in those later rounds that you've got. I don't know that you could do that from 9 to 8.
I think it would be too costly. Yeah, it would be too costly.
No, interesting tidbit that's emerging. Both Daniel Jeremiah and Todd McShay are voicing the opinions that Malik Neighbors may actually be drafted before Marvin Harrison Jr.
What? Why would that be? Tell me more.
Well, Neighbors is more explosive. I heard McShay was on...
They're different kind of receivers.
McShay was on Russillo's podcast, and he did a good job of explaining, look, Marvin Harrison is one of the most NFL-ready wide receivers he's ever seen, who will be coming into the league, and he believes he will be a multi-time Pro Bowl player. But if you were a GM looking for a game-breaking type wide receiver, he thinks Malik Neighbors has the Tyreek Hill type of ability that scares the hell out of defensive coordinators, more so than Marvin Harrison Jr. does. So he could see a team looking for that game-breaker type wanting Malik Neighbors over Marvin Harrison Jr.
If I'm drafting behind that team that takes Malik Neighbors, and there's nothing against him, I'm thrilled to grab Marvin Harrison.
And you run right to the podium and you give the card to the commissioner.
As fast as Marvin Harrison can.
And Daniel Jeremiah said Roma Dunze is his favorite prospect. Now, he thinks Harrison and Neighbors will be drafted first, but he loves Dunze.
It's going to be interesting.
A lot of good options.
I had read 7 wide receivers could go in that first round.
Well, we do know, based on recent history, that you can still find guys outside of the top 10 that play that position at a very high level.
And now, you know, I've only recently been seeing this. And I know you guys talked about it some, and Tyler brought this up the other day, too, when I was listening. You know, the fact that this second half of the draft, right, your rounds 4, 5, and 6, they don't contain the kind of talents that you're used to seeing in a draft. And that doesn't mean there won't be a guy who comes out of nowhere, right? The kid Puka who comes out of, you know, whatever. That'll happen. The likelihood of that happening for a lot of teams is low. I don't know how deep teams are going to be willing to wait and get. I wouldn't be surprised at all if you see a little bit more moving and shaking in that second
round.
Could be.
I think that may have played into their decision to give up this year's fourth round pick for one of their fourth round picks, too. Because they have an extra one, don't they? Or they have another fourth-round pick?
From the Eagles for the Robert Quinn.
For Keenan Allen.
The Darnell Wright flip-flop.
Top of the hour, we're going to talk to Jesse. We're going to talk some baseball, which I know you're drooling over now.
I'd like to talk baseball, but I think we'll probably end up talking about Shohei Ohtani.
Well, we can do both.
As interpreter.
But before we do that, we got to take a break. When we come back, why don't we clean up some of these phone calls as well, and then we'll segue to baseball. How about that?
Sounds like a plan. That's next on ESPN 1000.